And good morning. We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We are located here at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and you would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Here at Trinity, we believe in serving God through serving people. We offer an online daily devotional called Spirit 23, which can be found on Trinity UMC's Facebook page and on YouTube under Seymour Trinity UMC. We have a free clothing pantry and a small food pantry, which is open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. So please feel free to visit us. Our worship service is at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and all are welcome to join us. This morning, we're going to have a scripture reading from John 3:16, followed by a sermon entitled, Why Don't You Want to Go to Heaven? By Pastor Gary Dyer. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God.
Amen. I think I'm on now. Hallelujah. Listen, I like going to different houses of worship. I was up about 2 o'clock this morning. Some people said, well, when did you prepare for church? I said, 2 o'clock this morning. Amen. Glory to God. I was preaching at a Baptist church. I'm not going to tell you where, but they all sat in the back. I said, if everybody would move up front, we would be a lot closer. We're family. Well, nobody moved. It's the same at where I go to worship is I can tell how to pray for people at church because they sit in the same place. Well, that went over good, didn't it? Thank you, Jesus. But I'm thankful for this dear lady playing music this morning. I prayed, oh man, the piano was covered up, and I said, Lord, it'd be nice to have music, and all of a sudden, here she was. She just appeared. And I'm thankful for the radio audience. I look at that clock, and sometimes it quickens my spirit. I'm not trying to hurry up. I'm used to having an open pulpit, an open altar. I'm used to saying the altar is always open. It doesn't have to be at a certain time, but it's always open. And when the Spirit of God moves upon you, you will do something. Amen. I'm used to that. Amen. But could everybody say, look at somebody ready and say, we're family. We're family because you and I are trying to get to the same place. At least that's what the Bible said. I woke up this morning with this. It says, if a people that are called by my name, I prayed this morning about 2 o'clock, 2:30. If I would humble myself and pray and seek God's face, then I would hear from heaven. And what would he do? Forgive me of my sins and heal my land. Now, what land needs a healing today? America. And I don't watch the news much, but I tell you what, things are falling apart, even in the house of God. And that's why I asked today, I've been holding on to this, why don't you want to go to heaven? I was hoping it would be on the marquee outside, that people would drive by and see that and say, well, what's he talking about? Why don't you want to go to heaven? I mean, I act pretty good on Sunday, but what am I doing on Monday? It's got quiet, didn't it? Because he said, for God so loved you. Think about that. Wherever you're in a supermarket or a Dick and Rudy's barbershop or somewhere, for God so loved you that he gave the best that he had. Think about that. He gave us the best that he had. I was so lost and undone after the war. I thought I could never be touched by anything. My mother would cry. In fact, she was, this is the day of her passing, September. A lot of things happened in September in my family. Dustin Stewart's birthday, Marilyn's husband's birthday. I've got one coming up. I thought, oh my goodness, where did the time go? For God so loved the world, and that's everybody. Does that make sense? That, he's His voice is crying out. They tell me more people in Iran today are being saved, having visions of Jesus in Iran than you ever thought about. And there's a lot of people in Iran and China, they don't want war. But God's showing up in our lives today. Is anybody with me? He's showing up and he wants to talk to you. I seen that little baby there and I thought, well, we got one in our 20-something. In fact, we foster children, we've got the little baby. And that little baby's growing. My goodness. We feed them in our house. Welfare said, well, it's a foster baby. Said they 1 ounce a week. This baby's getting 3 ounces a week. We have one that's 3, one that's 6, and one that's 12. And I can't do anything without God, without my life coach, which is my wife. And she's my counselor today. Is anybody with me? Did you ever have your wife get right up here? Now, you guys, look. Did you ever have your wife get about right here in your face and say, Gary, you're hearing, but you're not listening? Now, that's going on in the house of God today in some places. We hear, but we don't listen. You get home and tell your kids, well, what was the sermon about? My boy would say, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. So you remember that he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to die in our place. Now, next Sunday is going to be about the old rugged cross. But today, he said, why don't you want to go to heaven? I asked myself, there's times that the devil tries to convince me of my past, but I start reminding him of his future. I said, you're going to hell, and there's no way out. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven, because the Bible said, I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I can only get to heaven through Christ Jesus. I can only make it through you, Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven, the Bible says, whereby a man or woman must be saved other than the name of Jesus. My sister Mary Ellen, or no, it was Linda, was at a stop sign one day, and she threw and she seen this great big 20-ton truck coming down, and he didn't stop. He was going to the intersection. And just before he hit her, she hollered, Jesus! And the truck hit her, tore the front end of the car off. When they took her to the doctor and they got her in there, she had a cut on her leg and they had to sew it up. And the doctor said, all you got was this little cut. And he said, I sewed it up and it looks like a seahorse. I'm used to noise. You can make noise. I was at a church one day a long time ago, and the man came up and said, well, you scared my wife. And I said, how? Well, you held your hands up. You scared my wife. I said, wow, what if I'd holler Jesus real loud? And it's okay to say that. Is anybody with me?
Amen.
When we go somewhere, they know who we are. My neighbors know because of what's going on in my house. Now, I ain't perfect. They know when I do wrong and they know when I get loud, but they know I belong to Jesus. Does your neighbors know you belong to Jesus? Yes, I like that. I'm sure they do. Jeff Ellis shows up one day, and I've been at a prayer meeting. I just got home. There was a 6-foot cross in my yard, great big white cross right on the corner where everybody sees it, and it says, Jesus is coming soon. Beautiful cross, and I thought, where'd that come from? So the other day, Jeff Ellis shows up, and he puts a light on it that comes on at night. He said, I want people to see that Jesus is coming soon. Take it to the bank. He is coming. And he said this in Psalms 19, verse 1. I'll try to stick to scriptures today. I'm watching the clock. Hey, it's stuck. I can keep on talking. Hallelujah. Psalm 19 and 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows his handiwork. When I drive down the road, you look and take time and look at how green and how beautiful. And a farmer's prayer was answered yesterday because we had a downpour. I got farmers that are bringing me produce to the Freedom Field to give away. I get the privilege of giving it away. They work it, they grow it. It's a Farmers to Feed the Hungry program, and people show up from all over. The trash truck stops, the city bus stops, police stop. I guess it's all right to say that on the radio. Hallelujah. But I get the privilege of giving it away, and we gave away hundreds, probably $15,000 worth of produce this month, not bragging. But when I give stuff away, there's something in Gary Dyer that does something on the inside. There's something about giving. We had over 50 people in the food pantry yesterday or Friday, and I called my son. I said, "What happened to all the little Debbies?" We had two cases of little Debbies. I said, "What happened to all those little Debbies?" He said, "Dad, we had 50 some people." They'll take little Debbies. Yeah. They said I shouldn't eat it, and I've done that before, but can I have one? Now, does anybody do that? I shouldn't have this, but... Yes, oh my goodness. Amen. So the heavens are crying out, the earth is crying out. Look at the beauty of God. But today, if you'll look around, there's things going on. You say, "Well, why don't you want to go to heaven?" Well, look around what's going on. There's a whole lot of people acting like they don't want to go. I'm not talking about y'all. But there's a whole lot of people, even in Seymour, that are acting like they don't want to go. But unless they see Jesus in me or you, you are the difference makers. Does that make sense? You are the difference makers. When you do the food pantry, God likes that stuff. When you give away food, He likes that stuff. When you give stuff away, He likes that stuff. My wife looked at me one day and she said, "Gary, please don't give our couch away." Well, I'm in need of another chair. Listen to this, Jeremiah 33:3. Says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you." Do you hear these words? Call unto Jesus, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you've never heard nor seen. Do you believe that today? This is the word of God, not Gary, because the Apostle Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven one day, and he saw and heard things that man's never seen nor heard. The Apostle Paul, while he was still alive, and he's just like you and I are, he's just a man, but he had what? He had an anointing of the Holy Spirit inside of him. I was told about God. I was told about the Lord. I sat in church for a long time as a little boy, but nobody ever told me that I could invite the Spirit of God inside. What made the difference in me was being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I still do some stupid stuff. Amen. But I'm quick to repent. I'm quick to repent. I was doing it this morning. Between 2 and probably 4 o'clock, I said, "God, I'm called by your name, but I want to humble myself and pray and seek your face so I could hear from heaven." And he's speaking to us today. He first spoke to me, amen, and when I was 19 years old on a Vietnam battlefield, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In Isaiah chapter 6, if you look it up, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Well, when God shows up, the atmosphere changes. You say, "Well, do you believe that?" Yes, because when I was filled with the Spirit, the atmosphere changed inside of me. You didn't find me down at the Bubba's alcohol place. You found me at Dick and Rudy's barbershop. You didn't find me down at the smoke shack or doing the vape thing. Do you understand that? I'm not lifting Gary up today. I'm lifting up Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. Why don't I want to go to heaven? Because everything that He did was to benefit me today. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if this earthly house That's this temple here. Of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And you know, when I was younger, I had pain. I'd go to bed and I'd get up and I didn't hurt. Now I've gotten a little bit older and I go to bed. Sometimes I wake up and it's still there. I thought, wow. But do you understand that everything that Jesus did, and I'll cover it next Sunday, but everything that Jesus did was to benefit us. So why would I not raise my hands? Though his wife got scared, I don't care. I'm not here to benefit. Come on, I'm not here to benefit the wife. I'm here to glorify God and to magnify the Lord. In fact, when he said in the Bible, I'm to come into his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Now the enemy wants you to be quiet. He said, if I can keep them quiet, nobody's going to hear about Jesus. Well, I used to be like that. When I first got saved, they would holler, praise the Lord. Well, I'd be in the grocery store and somebody come, praise the Lord. I go, oh God. They're going to know I'm one of them. You understand what I'm saying? But now I'm the one going, praise the Lord, brother. How are you doing? I wish I had more time. I walked into JC store and I said, you've got the best chicken around. Bless you, ladies, today. You got the best ham salad going. And bless you today. Speak a blessing over somebody. Speak a blessing over them today. I just did a funeral of a good friend the other day, and I baptized him in Coffee Creek. Creek to you people, but it's Coffee Creek to me. We went to baptize one guy and he didn't show up. I was down in that creek, knee deep in water, and it was cold. Well, after a while, I didn't feel my legs, so it got all right. I thought, well, I said, the guy that was supposed to get baptized didn't show up, but there was a whole lot of people there. And this big guy that was a logger, bib overhauls, leaped out into the water and said, I got to be baptized now. Baptized him. He come out of that water shouting. 20 people got baptized that day because one guy didn't show up. Amen. That gave me faith. I said, look at this. Well, the other day I did his funeral. I used to visit him in the nursing home. And I went to see him. And you know what he told me before he died? He said, you made my day. I ain't nobody. But my visit to him, he said, you've made my day. That's wow. And then just before he passed, he was on hospice, and I went in, we had prayer, and I read the word to him, and he came alive just before he died. He was ready to meet the Lord. And you know what he told me? He said, I loved you from the first day that I met you. Boy, if that don't melt your heart. I talk about the love of God. So when I did his funeral, I got a hold of him, bib overhauls. And everybody was in there, and I said, this man knew how I felt about him before he got here. My sister knows how I feel about her before I leave this earth. She don't have to show up at the funeral home and say, well, my brother loved me. She knows it. Is anybody with me? If you give me flowers, bring them to the house. Don't wait till the funeral. I can't see them. If you want to glorify God, tell somebody about Jesus. If you want to go to their house, pray for somebody, visit somebody, love somebody that you don't even like. I've had to do that. I've had to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, God looked, he said, how'd that benefit you? I heard it the other day. He said, how'd that benefit you? I said, well, it didn't. Because I let somebody make me mad on the inside, and I was determined today, is that all right if I move? I was determined today that nothing was going to bother me today as I came to the house of the Lord. Not the dog doo-doo that was on the step. I picked it up. I got behind a guy that drove 20 miles an hour, and I said, "You're not going to bother me today." "Not today, devil." My wife taught the kids this. "Not today, devil." I was going to come here and let nothing upset me. Did anybody ever get, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, me and the wife was fighting, got to church. Oh, hallelujah. I surrender all. Hallelujah. My wife said, "You ain't getting no supper tonight." "I surrender all." Hallelujah. He said the Apostle Paul himself wanted to go to heaven while he was alive. Everybody know about the Apostle Paul? He wanted to go to heaven. Why? Because he fell in love with Jesus. But along the way, he was stoned unto death. He was beaten 5 times with whips, 5 with rods and whips. He was beaten. He was abused. In Acts 16, he was put in prison and chained to the wall. In the lowest part of the dungeon, in the darkness, he's chained to the wall. Him and Silas. Acts chapter 16, you can read about it. Well, they couldn't relieve themselves. They couldn't do nothing. They was hanging in there. But one of them said, here's where we're going. Let's just praise the Lord. Read it in Acts 16. And they began to sing praises to God in the darkness, chained to the wall, and the other prisoners heard them, and God said, "I like that." Bam, and the prison doors opened up. The chains fell off of them, and they came out, and what happened? The jailer got saved. His family got saved. So in the worst times of my life, somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get saved. When I stood on a bridge with a sign, I didn't want to go to that bridge with that sign that said Jesus loves you. But somebody got saved that first day. Is anybody with me? Why would you stand over 65? Because somebody's coming down the road to get saved. She was probably saying, why do I want to go to heaven? I'm done with life. That's what Karen Owens told me. The woman's testimony was, why do I want to go to heaven? All I've got is trouble down here. All I've got is sorrow. But when she saw the sign, come on, somebody get excited. When she saw the sign that said, Jesus loves you, she said, that's it. She went to Crothersville to the Baptist church and told Karen when she got there, there was some crazy man on the bridge, and that made the difference. Well, Monday I went to the bank, and she was laughing. She said, Gary, listen to this. And she told me, and I said, well, you know who the crazy man was? Duh. And the police did come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Paul said this toward the end of his life after all he went through. He said, I fought a good fight. Can you say today, can I say today I fought a good fight? I'll be 77 this month. Have I fought a good fight? Yeah. Well, it's these shoes. They make you feel younger. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Listen to that. When I'm ready to leave this place, I want to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Now I'm ready to be offered up to you, Jesus, to the one that gave his life just for a wretch like me. I'm nobody. But he saw something in you. Come on, if you're here today, he saw something in you that he knew you were coming down the line. He said, I love you. If you're sitting here today, think nobody loves you, he does. I'm telling you, he does. I wish I had better words to give you because I'm running out of time. Radio audience, God bless you. Jesus loves you. Listen to that. He really does because he gave his only son to die in our place. He gave the best gift he had. When you think about 9-inch nails going through those hands and feet, and he laid up there on that cross, and he was beaten beyond recognition because of somebody like me, but he said this, Father, Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. I flew back to Vietnam with my Bible, the same Bible right here. I didn't take an M16. I didn't take artillery. I took this. This is the most powerful weapon that's ever been given to man. This is my Bible. It is the weapon of my choice. I will keep it with me at all times. I will read it and know it and use it in all situations. Would that not stop the war in Gary Dyer? Would not stop the war with your neighbors? The devil can't handle love. He don't know what to do with it. I love my enemies. He can't handle love. He don't know what to do with it. I went back over there to hug on the enemy that I hated because God said, you're going back now. You're going to go. Is anybody getting a hold of this? Have you heard anything today would say, I love Jesus more today? Because I'm running out of time. Not really, but that clock up there is going, Gary, hello. My mother used to call me and said, Gary, what time's church over with? I said, I don't know, Mama. I just happened to go to church where they stopped. When the Spirit stopped, they stopped. I was preaching at a church one day. God reminded me of this morning, that it seemed like I was there 30 minutes. I'm getting ready to close. I thought, boy, this is the grandest 30 minutes. People coming to the altar, people were getting to. It wasn't me. Well, when the pastor got up, he said, who would ever know we could have a sermon for 3 hours? I said, what? See, when the Spirit moves, it don't make a difference about time. God doesn't have one of these. You understand, God's not, he don't have one of these. But he knows what time is. Because he said there'll be a space in heaven about 30 minutes before he gets ready to come back. 30 minutes. So I want this. Remember your family. I love you guys. Be sure and come back next week because we're going to talk about the old rugged cross. Made the difference. Does that make sense? So I'm going to be quiet. I've got more notes, but I'm recognizant of the time. You know, there's something about people because we're all trying to get to the same place. I get the privilege of being at the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Pentecostal Church. I didn't do that. God opened the door. You understand? God opened the door. So I love you guys today. I hope you know that because I'm thinking about you this morning at 2 o'clock. In Jesus' name, so bless you. Amen.
Page 184 in your hymnals, of the Father's love begotten.